Mark chapter 13. So if you want to find your place there, we'll read a few verses and we'll get started tonight. Mark chapter number 13. And this has been when we don't have church and you have longer to think about something. So I'll try to keep it that in mind tonight. But I've thought about this passage of Scripture and looked at it, and we could go on for two or three more weeks, I guess, just in this one passage alone. There's just so much background. There's so much that is involved in this, and I'll show you a little bit of that tonight, but it's some serious Scripture that we're dealing with. So we're going to read Mark chapter 13, and beginning in verse number 9 down through verse number 13, just to start with tonight. And the Bible said in Mark chapter 13, verse number 9, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And so I'm glad to be back in the book of Mark tonight. And as I was studying about this, I thought, considering our long winter layoff we've had, it'd be good to just sort of review what we have learned so far in this passage of Scripture. So that's what I want to do. To begin with tonight, I want to just go back and quickly go over what we've covered so far. And we would go back at least three lessons ago if we went back to lesson number 66. And lesson number 65, actually, the first week that we got into chapter number 13, we just called that the Olivet Discourse. And we see verses 1 through 4, and I pointed out four things. The place in verse number 1. Was at the Mount of Olives and the temple, and that was the place. And we said the preview in verse number 2, and where the Bible said, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then in verse number 3, we saw the pupils. That was the disciples, Peter and James and John and Andrew. And then we saw the prophecy in verse number 4. They came and they asked him in verse number 4, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And we call that the Olivet Discourse. And then the week after that, that was number 66, we saw the preview of the age. And we just pointed out three things in that. We saw the deception in verses 5 and 6. Where Jesus said, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So there's deception. Then we said there's going to be destruction. Verses 7 and 8, "And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." And then we said in verses 9 through 13, there was dislike. And talking about the Jewish people and how that there would be persecution and hatred. And that's what we're going to look at again tonight, is this persecution. Now, we actually went a week after that in lesson number 67 and just looked at the Jewish people. And we talked about their past, their present, and their future. And God is not done with the Jew. Now, there's a lot of people out here, evangelical Christians, and they've got the wrong idea that the church has replaced the Jew. and that all of the promises that God made to the Jew now belongs to the church. Now, that's wrong. And if you start looking at the Bible that way, it will really mess you up. It'll mess you up in a lot of ways. Theologically, it'll mess you up concerning salvation. It'll mess you up concerning prophecies in the Bible. If what God told the Jew now applies to the church, that means that the church would go through the tribulation. Because if you're going to take the good, you got to take the bad too. But the church is not going through the tribulation. And the tribulation is what is being dealt with here in Mark chapter number 13. So we talked about the past, the present, and the future of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Now tonight, this is lesson number 68. And what we're going to call it is persecution in the tribulation, or persecution during the tribulation. And finally, we're going to get down, we're going to look at these verses verse by verse tonight. Now, some things to keep in mind when we're studying Mark chapter number 13 and Matthew chapter number 24 and Luke chapter number 21, some things to keep in mind. And I've said this, I think, about every week. The church is not in view here. This is not talking about the church. The rapture is not in Matthew chapter number 24 or Mark chapter number 13. Now, the rapture of the church will happen at some point, but you can't look at this passage of Scripture and say, okay, the rapture is going to happen between verse 8 and 9. Now, I just picked that out randomly. The rapture is going to happen, but the rapture is not taught. The teaching of the rapture, it's not under consideration. You can't fit this in like some have tried to do and say in verse number 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations, and boy, when everybody hears the gospel, then the Lord's going to come. That's not what this is teaching. See, sometimes people try to fit the rapture into this, and it's just not under discussion. So you have to keep that in mind when studying this passage of Scripture. Matthew 13, or Mark 13 is concerning the Jewish people. Now, I want you to keep your place here, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 1. And I think we have to do this in order to really get a good understanding of what is happening in this chapter. We're going to look over just a few minutes tonight, and I want to point out some things out of the book of Revelation. We're going to start in chapter number 1, and we're just going to do a quick little overview of some of the things that happens in the book of Revelation. And so we're going to come back to Mark chapter number 13. But if you're going to study Mark chapter 13 in great detail, you'd have to go over, and a parallel passage of Scripture would be Revelation chapter 6, verse number 1, all the way through Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 21. And so that section of Scripture goes along with Mark 13, goes along with what's going on in Matthew chapter number 24. And I'll point out some of those things. But just let's look in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, and we'll start there and just point out a few things. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, look what the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation, it's where we get our word apocalypse from. You hear a lot of talk today about the apocalypse. If I was to say to you, turn in your Bibles to the apocalypse, you know, that would be the book of Revelation. And the apocalypse is not about zombies and aliens invading the earth and the end of the world by solar flare or something like that. It's the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The world talks a lot about the apocalypse, but if we're really going to talk about the apocalypse, it means disclosure. It is the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's what the revelation is about. The word apocalypse means revelation, and the word revelation comes from the word apocalypse. and it means discovery or disclosure. Now, Hollywood is doing just a fantastic job. You won't hear me brag on Hollywood very much, but I'll tell you, they're doing a real good job of turning the apocalypse into entertainment and making things that really ought to cause us to have the fear of the Lord in our heart, making people just by and large look at it as, well, that's just something on TV. Just entertainment is all that is. I don't know if you how much you keep up with it or not, but there are all kinds of movies and television shows that are apocalypse themed, that are dealing with end of the world scenarios, some great battle, some great war, some great natural catastrophe is going to happen, and it's going to be the apocalypse. We were in Mountain City the other day, and we got behind a truck, and I told Kim, I said, look at that. And it said something like zombie response team. And zombies, people talking about zombies everywhere. If you get to looking in the book of Revelation, there's sure some zombie-like things going on. If you look in the book of Revelation, there's going to be plagues, there's going to be famines, there's going to be wars, there's going to be killing on a scale and murder like this world has never seen before. And you see all these kind of things portrayed in the movies and on television shows. Not only that, but all kinds of dealings with demons and devils and magic and demon possession, all these things that really ought to bother us. Why, that's just entertainment. There's a television show, and I've seen an article today about the television show, and the name of it is Lucifer, and it's about the devil. And I don't know, I'm not going to watch it by any means, but what kind of world are we living in that takes things like that? I seen one advertised, and the name of it was Damien. Now, there was a scary movie years ago about a little boy named Damien, and he was possessed with the devil, and I mean, just wicked stuff. But now this stuff's on TV. It comes on every week, and people watch it, and all kinds of things along these lines. So we come today, and we might ask ourselves, why is it so hard to witness to people? Why aren't people bothered by these things? Well, they see it on TV all the time. It's just entertainment. But if you're talking about the apocalypse, or you hear somebody talking about the apocalypse, that means the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, there's some scary things in the book of Revelation. And so we come to Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, just a quick overview of what happens in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, the church is in view. In fact, chapter 1 is addressed to the seven churches, and then chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the letters to seven different churches. Most of you are familiar with that already. And so Revelation starts out, the church is in view. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, you say, where's the rapture in the book of Revelation? Chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible said, after this I looked. After this. After what? After these seven churches. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Does that sound familiar? If you look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, there's going to be the sound of a trumpet. What's that trumpet going to do? It's going to call God's children up into heaven. And John heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. That is the rapture of the church before the tribulation. Now, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter number 5, if we were to take time to read these, and you can read it very quickly at home, but chapter 4 and chapter number 5 is a heavenly scene. And that's what's going on in heaven. But beginning back in chapter number 6, this is where it corresponds with what we're studying in Mark chapter number 13. Chapter 6, verse number 1, the scene shifts back to the earth. And we begin to see what takes place upon the earth during the tribulation. Now, you remember we read this tonight, Mark chapter number 13, verses 6 through 8. Do you remember the things that were over there? There's going to be false Christs. There's going to be worldwide deception. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Nations are going to rise against nations, a kingdom against kingdoms. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places and famines and trouble. And all these, the Bible said in Mark chapter 13, are the beginning of sorrows. Then there's going to be a persecution like the world has never seen before. Now look here in chapter 6 and verse 1 in Revelation, keeping in mind the things I just mentioned. Chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible said, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Let me say, that rider on that white horse is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Antichrist. Look what he does in verse 3. When he had opened the second seal, in verse number 2, the rider on the white horse is a deceiver. Jesus said there's going to be deception. Verse number 3, the Bible said, and when he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. This rider on the second horse has the power of war. They're going to kill one another. It's going to be a time of great war. Then in verse number 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This third horse represents famine. There's going to be famine during the tribulation. And then the fourth seal begins in verse number 7. And when I had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth, and all kinds of trouble. And all kinds of dying and famine and hunger and pestilences. And so we see that in the fourth seal. And then in verse number 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so this great number of people in verses 9 through 11, how did they get there? They were killed. They were martyred. And they said, how long? And they said, till your brethren, there's going to be a lot more that's going to be killed. That's the same things we're studying about in Mark chapter number 13. False antichrist, war, death, famines, plagues, earthquakes, persecutions. That's why these scriptures are parallel one with another. It's talking about the same thing. Now, in verse number 12, there's a sixth seal that is opened. And the Bible said, "Now behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And it talks about in Luke chapter number 21 that during that time, that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Things will be so bad upon the earth. I mean, you think it's bad now, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be. And so that is why that's a parallel passage of Scripture to what we're studying in Mark chapter 13. Now, something else goes along with that, and we find it in chapter number 7. In chapter number 7, verses 1 through 4, we find that there are 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going to be sealed by the seal of God at the very beginning of the tribulation, and that seal of God upon them is supernatural protection. They'll not be able to be killed. They're set aside at the beginning. Let's just read those verses. Chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, Satan is an imitator. There's going to be during the tribulation, we'll see this a little later, there's going to be what is called the mark of the beast. But before Satan ever marks anybody, God puts a mark on his people. And we find that first of all. And then it said in verse number 4, And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And they're sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And it goes on down. And there's going to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. And 12 times 12 is 144. And so that's where you get your 144,000 Jewish evangelists. We'll talk just a little bit about them in just a moment. But look over in chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 3. There are two Jewish evangelists in particular, and they are called the two witnesses. Chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse number 2. Let's see, what am I wanting to see? Verse number 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, if you figure out that 1,260 days, that's 42 months or 3.5 years. And the tribulation is going to last for 7 years. So this brings us to the halfway point of the tribulation. Now, if you go back to the book of Mark. The halfway point of the tribulation. Something very significant is going to happen. We find that in chapter 13, verse number 14, which we're not going to deal with in great detail tonight, but just to point out sort of a time period. Chapter 13, verse 14 says, But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. That's halfway point. The abomination of desolation, which we'll get into that maybe next time. So Revelation chapter 6 through chapter number 19 goes right along with what we're studying in Mark chapter number 13. Now we're going to look at chapter 13, verse number 9. We're just going to take these verse by verse tonight. Chapter 13, verse number 9, the Bible said, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." Now, you might think that the world we live in is very friendly and very open and very accepting. This is a wicked world we live in. And all that talk about, now we have to be accepting of this group and this group and this group. What you will find out, that does not apply to God's people. The world will accept anything under the sun except Jesus Christ, the Bible. Why are the Jews hated so much today? I mean, of all the countries in the Middle East, wouldn't we be most like them? They're a democracy. They operate on free trade. They have a lot of the same goals, a lot of the same values, but we find more and more in America hate the Jews except the Muslims. The Muslims want to cut your head off. Well, during the tribulation, the Christians are going to be gone. That's going to leave the Jews. And the Jew is going to be enemy of state number one when it comes to the rule of the Antichrist. Our generation is not loving and accepting of everything and everybody. In fact, our generation is described perfectly in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, where it talks about being hateful and hating one another. And of all the things we could say about the internet, and a lot of what is going on in our world is preparing people to go into the tribulation. And you look on the internet, and the internet has enabled people to be bullies anonymously. And what you find is the world is not civil and loving, but boy, there's a lot of hateful talk. There's always, when you, like if you look on a news article, if it has to do with anything of any significance whatsoever, the comments underneath, the way people talk about people and cut one another down. See, before you kill somebody physically, you'll cut them to pieces with your tongue. And there's a lot of that in the world. People get on the internet and Facebook and all these websites and all these different things, and man, they're hating each other and cussing one another, dooming one another. That's all going to be unleashed. You think it's a dangerous world now? Wait until the church is gone. Wait until the light is gone. Wait until the salt is gone. Wait until the influence, the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit of God is gone. There's a lot of, they're talking here in verse number 9 about some serious things. What's going to happen to these people? Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." The killing, the murdering that's going on in the world, it's not just gang related. A lot of it goes on under the name of religion. a lot of it is being done under the banner of war or governments on their own people. A lot of that goes on. And it's going to be very commonplace during the tribulation. Jews will once again become the hated people, the blamed people of the world. And if you ever, and I'm not as up on it now as I have been in the past, but study about Nazi Germany and study how they treated the Jews. It's going to be that again, but worse. They blame the Jews for everything. Hitler made the Jews all wear a J so that they could be recognized in public. Turned a whole nation against one or two groups of people. It's awful. It was awful how they treated the Jewish people. It's going to happen again. So they're going to be persecuted. Verse number 10 explains it a little bit more. The last part of verse number 9 says, "Ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Now that is not Mark chapter 16 verse 15. The Bible says over there, Jesus told the church, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel has gone throughout all the world. In fact, the early church, it didn't take 1900 years to get it done. The early church, the first generation of Christians, they got the gospel out into all the world. And if you study about church history, you will see that Christianity spread westward. And it went from the Middle East, it went into Europe, it went into Africa, it went to the East, it eventually got all the way. The gospel has already went around the world, some places several times. Somebody might say, "Well, what about a nation over there and they don't allow Christianity?" They had it once upon a time. Some have kicked the Lord out and locked the door. But they did have the gospel once upon a time. Turkey, Saudi Arabia, all those countries, they got it first. They got it first. Might be legal now, but it wasn't 1900 years ago. This is not talking about Mark 16, 15. What it's talking about in verse number 10, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations," that is the message that will go out during the tribulation. This is the gospel of the kingdom message. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is not different from the gospel of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one gospel. And it's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. And it is by the grace of God. You know how Noah got saved? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know how Abraham got saved? He believed on the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. There's only one way to be saved, and that's by believing. Believing what the Word of God says. But now the gospel of the kingdom is different in this. The gospel of the kingdom has a time limit upon it. Do you know when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, He preached the gospel of the kingdom? That was His message. And the gospel of the kingdom goes like this. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He went out and He began to preach, and John the Baptist preached, and they said, "The kingdom is at hand." What's that mean? The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming, and it's going to be soon. And the gospel of the kingdom is that same message. The Lord's coming. You better get ready. He's coming soon. Now, we don't know when the Lord's going to come in the rapture, but the tribulation, 7 years, and the Lord's coming. That's the message of the kingdom. That's the message that the Jewish evangelists, that's the message that the two witnesses will preach. And they will preach that message that Jesus Christ is coming soon. The kingdom, they rejected it the first time. Here's your opportunity again. What are you going to do with it? And they'll be hated because of that. They'll be hunted down. They'll be persecuted. But it must be published among all nations. Verse number 11, the Bible said, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Now they're going to be given what to say by the Lord. This is not an excuse not to study your Sunday school lesson. I've known some preachers, and the way they studied, that's what they claimed. "Well, I'm just going to go to church, and I'm going to pray, and God's going to give me the message, and I'm going to speak from the Lord. You're not supposed to think about it beforehand, but you just go to church. God gives you the message." Boy, that'd be easy. But that is not for us. For us is this, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I've heard some of those preachers that they say out of the book of Psalms, "Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it." I've noticed that their mouth gets filled with the same message every time they preach. It's just the same thing. Different scripture, they end up just saying the same thing. If you don't study, let me tell you this, you cannot give out what you've not taken in. If you don't take something in, you'll not be able to give it out. You and I have got to study. Preachers need to study. This is not a verse saying, well, we don't have to study our Bibles. I think I told you about the preacher, and he was like that. We'll call him Bob. We'll just say Preacher Bob was like that. Preacher Bob would go to church every Sunday morning, and he'd pray, "Oh God, speak to me. Oh God, give me the message for this morning. Lord, what do you want me to say to your people? God, speak to me. God, speak to me." And that's how he operated. And he was sitting there one Sunday morning and he was praying, "God, speak to me. God, give me a message." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Bob, you're lazy. If you wasn't so lazy, you'd have something to preach. If you get in the Bible, you'll find something to preach. If you're a Sunday school teacher, there's plenty. You're not going to run out of stuff." That is not talking about that. Now I wonder what does that mean? I think if we could find a Bible example of how these Jewish evangelists are going to be supernaturally supplied by God with the message for whatever they come up against, it'd be good to go to Acts chapter number 7 and read Stephen's message. Boy, there you talk about a message. Remember that first deacon in the church at Jerusalem? And he stood up and he went all the way back to the beginning. And he brought those Pharisees and those accusers, he brought them all the way through. And he preached the gospel to them. He brought them from Moses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "You've taken and with wicked hands have crucified." And the Bible said in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Boy, you talk about barbaric. Think about that, to hate somebody so much that they rushed upon Stephen. And not only did they stone him to death, but they bit him and gnashed on him with their teeth. Talk about hate, hating. Look what's going on in the world today. What kind of mentality does it take to cut somebody's head off? It's happening every day in our world. You talk about a wicked world. Christians are being martyred. they're being persecuted. If it was not for the restraining hand of the Lord, look at all the enemies that the Jews have today. What would they do unrestrained? They would do what they've tried to do several times in the past. They would invade and they would kill and slaughter and run them into the sea and wipe them off the face of the earth if they could. Hatred of God's people. So we find that in verse number 11. In verse number 12, the Bible said, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." There will be betrayal. People will turn informers to save their own necks. That's what they did in Nazi Germany. And I don't understand this, but I have noticed that among the Jewish people, and I don't mean this in any way mean or disrespectful whatsoever, but I have noticed that it seems that they hate their own selves. They are terrible to hate one another. I don't know why. But if you look in there, dealings down through the years, and even today, there are Jews that hate Israel, speak out against Israel. You would think they would sort of be pro-Israel. Christians, it seems like, are more pro-Israel than a lot of Jewish people. I don't understand that. But I see this in the Bible, that the Bible says the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. There's going to be betrayal. There's going to be, we today are even being conditioned. See something, say something. Have you heard that? Well, if you see something, you need to tell somebody. That's going to be widespread. There's some Jews down there. There's some Jews over there. There's a Jew that owns that business. Verse number 13, the Bible said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, verse number 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That is not talking about going to heaven salvation. That is not talking about Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's not the same saved. When it's talking about he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved, that is both a physical and a spiritual salvation. The Jew that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved during the tribulation time period, their choice that they make will have to be endured unto the end. The choice that they make be a life or death choice. Now, I'll just give a little scenario about what is going to be like during the tribulation. The Antichrist is going to come upon the scene. After the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will be revealed. The Antichrist will come upon the scene. He will be a great leader in the world. And he'll be able to supposedly accomplish something that has been tried and tried and tried, but they always fail. He'll have an answer for peace in the Middle East. And his answer for peace in the Middle East will be that he will make a covenant with the Jewish people. His covenant comes along with his mark. You'll have to receive his mark. You'll have to receive his covenant. Now, the Jewish people that will not receive his mark and will not receive his covenant, they'll reject him. See, some will be praising him. They'll be saying, "Boy, this is the answer that we've been looking for. We need to listen to him. We need to agree with this man." But them 144,000 Jews and those two witnesses, they're going to be telling on him. Don't listen to him. don't receive his mark, don't go along with what he has to say. And they'll be hated because of that. The world will say, the problem is these Jews that are preaching about Jesus, and man, we can't do anything with them. And everybody that believes God's word will be hated and run down and persecuted by the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13 talks about the mark of the beast. And if you don't receive his mark, you'll not be able to buy or sell. Now, what kind of pressure would that put on people? I mean, people are going to want to feed their children. I went to the Dollar General today, and there wasn't anybody in there. There's always people in there, all the time. Somebody is in the Dollar General. There's one other person in there. And I heard the cashier say to that person, now you know we can only take cash. I didn't notice when I walked in, but there's big old signs. Cash only, servers down. They said it's been like that a couple of days. I thought it'd been awful quiet around there. And I had my money. And I didn't have to wait in line or anything. And I went right up there and I paid. And I said, boy, I bet that hurts these people that don't carry no money around. And there's a woman walking out, and I could tell she is mad. She said, yeah, that puts them in a bad place. She couldn't buy what she needed. Can you imagine going to the store? I mean, babies need food. Need some milk. If you don't have the mark, you're not buying nothing. You're not selling anything. There's a thing today saying that one of the big banks is doing away with ATM cards. If you lose your ATM card, it's not going to be a big deal anymore. Just don't lose your phone. Going to be able to do everything on your phone. One of these days, you're just going to be able to do everything by swiping your hand. Going to be a mark. I mean, the technology's already there. Some people have already done that. They got a little chip on them and they just swipe all their information and everything. Can you imagine the pressure on people not to receive the mark of the beast? And then, I mean, they're going to be killed. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be run down. They're going to be hunted. They're going to be hated. Those Jews and those who will not receive the mark of the beast, they're going to be persecuted. And that is only up to the first half. That's only through the first half. Somewhere in all of this, Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, the rapture of the church is going to happen. And what we see just in just a foretaste today is going to escalate greatly. Deception, war, persecution, all of these things. And so those Jews, that's why they're going to be hated so bad. If they won't follow the Antichrist, they're going to be seen as the devils of the world. It's because of them, they'll blame them. They'll say, it's because of them that we can't have peace. And they won't be able to do anything with them except hunt them down and kill them. But now I love Revelation chapter 11. And we're not going to go over there tonight. But you read about those two witnesses. They try and try and try to shut them up. You talk about a thorn in the flesh to the Antichrist. And finally they kill the two witnesses. And there's going to be a worldwide celebration. You read it when you get home. And all the people in the world will see their dead bodies laying in the street. And they'll give gifts to each other. But then after 3 days, those two witnesses, they come back to life. It's just going to be an interesting world. Well, a lot of people hate the Bible, but the Bible is more true than we probably realize tonight. I mean, we would say, yes, it's true. But boy, you really get to studying into it. We don't know how close we are, but we have to be. We have to be so very close to the coming of the Lord. And there's just so many things happening in the world today. All right. We finally got through those verses. A lot of good things. Now, say, what do we do about that? Well, there's really not anything you can do about it. Better make sure you're saved. Better make sure you have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've accepted Him as your Savior. That's the first thing you need to do about it. Believe what God says in His Word. That's what we need to do.